through doors and emerges altered. The journalist takes a pledge to go through those same doors, wherever they may lead, and over time, the reporter is also changed. These are my stories and my changes, but they also capture a world that is rapidly passing, as worlds always do. Prologue: The City of Death. I arrived in the City of Death around noon, the sun high, the heat raising willy-willies in the colourless dust. The military Hercules lowered its ramp to reveal a Mad Max landscape of patchy desert scrub marked by an abandoned MiG fighter jet. Baidoa, in central Somalia, once had a population half the size of Adelaide. But in the 12 months before we arrived, 170,000 people had starved to death there. The Australian military had come to try to save some, and a collection of reporters, photographers, cameramen and techs, a crew for whom motley would be too generous an adjective, were there to watch the diggers do it. By 1992, 2 decades since its last major war, the Australian Army was effectively a peacetime force relearning its craft, and us hacks, with few exceptions, knew nothing of conflict at all. The US Marines bulldozed a patch on the edge of town, they stretched a perimeter fence around it, called it a military base, and left the Australians to it. For infrastructure, they had dug 2 dunnies, actually 1 dunny with 2 holes side by side, and left a water purifying plant that was woefully inadequate for a battalion-strength force. We journos numbered 32 in all. The big TV networks and newspaper groups were represented, plus others from the diggers' hometown papers. There was radio, ABC and commercial, and a couple of magazine writers who had talked their way on board. One of them was a lovely chap who normally wrote Sydney society gossip for Kerry Packer's The Bulletin magazine. After a few days in Somalia, he took to his bedroll and refused to shift. There were some genuine legends in the mix, none more so than Bruce Wilson, veteran foreign correspondent for the Murdoch Press. He had life worked out. Happiness, he declared, is directly proportional to the distance from head office. Bruce was comfortable anywhere. In the deserts of central Somalia, he extracted from his pack not only a nifty little folding chair, but a full bottle of single malt whiskey and an actual glass. Most of the journalists, though, were like me, new to military operations, but we were all keen to start filing stories. Most of the TV newsmen and TV-only sent men, Jodie Brough from the Canberra Times was the only female reporter, raced off to explore the MiG. It was an incongruous sight, a legacy of Somalia's time as a client state of the Soviet Union. Moscow's contribution to the country were warplanes that could no longer fly, Kalashnikov rifles by the hundreds of thousands, and not much else. The jet sat perched among the weeds, still mostly intact, in a place where the next most sophisticated form of transport for most people was a donkey cart. But I had a better idea. At the back of our dusty camp, I had spotted a grain crop, sorghum, I later learned. This, I decided, symbolised the whole point of our being there. If the Australian troops, as part of this historic UN deployment, could bring security and stability to Baidoa, the people wouldn't need food aid. They could feed themselves. Taking a long-suffering cameraman with me, I strolled down to the field. The crop was high, towering above my head, but sparse enough for me to walk among it. The cameraman stayed behind the low stone wall that formed the perimeter and framed up a shot that would compress the grain heads to increase the impression of abundance. The trick is called using the long end of the lens, and I walked 25 metres into the vegetation to make it work. I was rehearsing my lines when I noticed a group of Somalis clustering along a track at the far side of the field. I waved at them. They waved back. Friendly enough. In fact, very cheerful. They seemed to be laughing. "See," I said to the cameraman, "they don't have electricity, but they're still fascinated with television." I knocked off a first take. "Mate," said the cameraman, "they seem to be trying to tell you something." I glanced back at the tallest, most animated of the men. He was grinning wildly, then pointed to the ground, and with a big uprush of both hands said, "Boom!" In an instant, starting from the crown of my head, a frigid feeling rushed down to my feet. Blood really does run cold. At the same time, the thought hit me. In a city where 170,000 people have just starved to death, why would a full crop of grain have gone untouched? I was in a minefield. I looked up at the cameraman.